Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If you think of the name Larry Sanders, perhaps what comes to mind is that old HBO TV show starring Gary Shandling, Jeffrey Tambor, and Rip Torn.
Frankly, I'll tell you the truth.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that when you do your... You do this. That isn't the same affectation. That isn't the same as my, hey now.
There, you just said it again. And, you know, I asked you not to say it.
Lord knows what the success of that show did to the soft-spoken privacy and quiet life of Larry Sanders, the older brother of candidate Bernie Sanders. Larry has lived in Oxford, England since 1969, where he was a professor of social administration. He's dabbled in local government in the UK. He clearly loves and is proud of his little brother's success. And he has bitter, sad memories of losing his parents in New York when Larry and Bernie were just starting out in life. Larry, you see, is Bernie's only sibling and has fond memories of their childhood growing up in Brooklyn, New York, where he says Roosevelt, Brooklyn Dodgers, and corned beef and pastrami sandwiches ruled. Senator Sanders gives credit to his big brother for introducing him to ideas that helped shape his political future. Growing up in New York at that time, the two of them were part of the post-World War II Jewish radicalism tradition and the Beat Movement. But they were faces in the crowd in the beginning, says Larry, not leading the rallies.
We did grow up in all that, although it wasn't a kind of high-powered cultural environment. It was a very homely environment. It was an environment, after all, of immigrants and the children of immigrants. But it was a very comfortable life in many ways. Everything we needed was at hand. The street was free and easy and safe. But we were out there in the afternoons. We played every kind of ball game and I think ever invented. I don't know where they came from.
Bernie was good at basketball.
Bernie was good at all sports. He was basically a very good athlete. He loved basketball. He was 6'1". That was not tall enough.
Not tall enough?
No.
Politics back then?
Politics, the family was staunch New Deal, like everybody else in the area.
So Roosevelt rules. Roosevelt rules.
Roosevelt absolutely ruled. Somebody said there were fewer Republicans in our neighborhood than there were Yankee fans. There were very few of those.
So you were Brooklyn Dodgers?
We were Brooklyn Dodgers.
Tough Brooklyn kid?
I wouldn't say tough. What would be the right word? I mean, we didn't fight a lot. We did fight occasionally with our friends. We were independent Brooklyn kids.
He's very nice to Hillary up there during the debate.
We were not attackers. We weren't pacifists, but we were not attackers.
Did Bernie ever suggest or say, when I grow up, I want to be president?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There was no glimmer of a thought. President, I don't think senator, I don't think member of the House of Representatives would have been in the discussion.
First violinist, basketball star, what did he aspire to that you can recall?
See, that's reflecting back on what I said a few minutes ago, we were not in that stage of middle-class development where people are talking to their children about what they could aspire to and children are building on that. And we didn't have those kind of models. We had successful business people in the family. We had unsuccessful business people in the family. Going to college was very easy in a sense. It was, you know, it was very good education, very easily available, very cheap. And the family was not against, you know, was thought it was a normal progression. But clarity about professions, about futures, just we didn't talk about that.
Can you recall a politically transformative moment for Bernie or for your family, in the early days?
Well, of course, politically transformative, as my father began to get information about his family, they all were gobbled up with their children, all disappeared, and we began to get that information. So that, it was funny, it wasn't much discussed.
The Holocaust. Gobbled up in the Holocaust.
Gobbled up in the Holocaust.
That's a euphemism.
That's murdered, yes. Yeah.
Bernie got involved in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee
when
he was in Chicago. How do you think Chicago changed him or energized him?
I think Chicago was a turning point. He had the upbringing, he had the basic ideas, the basic values, but Chicago was the place where everything hit him in the face very hard. He was old enough to be involved. It was a situation which called on people, and he answered the situation. And I think that that did change his life.
Is there a place in Chicago, in an office, a person in Chicago who is particularly meaningful, do you think?
He learned on the streets and in the stacks of the library. He didn't learn much in class from what we talked about. But he read voraciously in the library, and then he worked avidly on the streets when he got involved in the civil rights stuff. And he, in that, he was not a halfway person.
Explore that. He was not a halfway person. What does that mean?
Well, he was a cross-country runner. Do you know what cross-country runners do?
I sure do.
They go up and down through the mud, and the good ones don't give up. And Bernard had that tenacity from such an early age. And I think when he got involved in civil rights, it was his job to take part in writing it. And he was going to do that with all his soul.
So in the middle of his Chicago civil rights experience, his parents passed away.
Our mother died actually just while he was in the year at Brooklyn. And I think also the reason why he wanted to get away from Brooklyn, because things were very painful.
So he had to be his own guide.
He was very much his own guide.
Does that explain anything about what you see and hear when he's up on the podium giving a speech?
I think that's a very good question. Not so much perhaps in the podium, in some of those famous congressional hearings when he would lambast important people in a way that very few politicians have the nerve to do. There is a capacity for Bernard to stand on his own against the world. And I think a lot of the power he has as a politician comes from that.
When you hear his speeches, is that the familiar Bernie that you hear, or is that a new retooled Bernie for the White House?
The issues are all the same. So he's not a new Bernard. The tone is different as he's become aware that he actually could be president.
How have you felt?
I have felt his feeling of success. I felt it in his voice as he spoke. And I began to look at what was happening and seeing where Bernard stood and began to try to put it into a kind of world history. And I see him as a potential great president.
Is it exciting?
I tend to cry at this kind of point. I don't know if it's not excitement, it is very deep. It's a very deep feeling.
And you're the older brother.
Mm.
He'll need you.
Well, I'll be with him.
You'll be Secretary of Older Brothers. Secretary of Older Brothers.
I'll be Secretary of Older Brothers, definitely.
Why do you cry at moments like this?
I just think it brings up thought of family.
What your parents might have thought.
Exactly. They would have been so happy.
So proud.
So, yes.
Well, go Bernie.
Absolutely.
Go Bernie. Larry, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you. That was very interesting.
Larry Sanders is the proud older brother of presidential candidate Bernie Sanders.